The FIR Podcast Network presents Amp Up Your Social Media, an audio podcast that brings you insights and ideas from the leading practitioners of social media marketing.
Amp Up Your Social Media is sponsored by GaggleAmp. Empower your employees, partners, and resellers to share your social media messages.
Here's your host, Glenn Gaudette.
Welcome back to another episode of Amp Up Your Social Media. My name is Glenn Gaudette, and today I'm speaking with Jason Cormier. Jason, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Glenn. Good to be here.
Jason, can you tell our audience a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Sure. Yeah. So I'm one of the co-founders and a managing partner of Room 214, which is a social media and digital marketing agency that's been around now for 11 years.
Wow. So was it always social media?
I mean, yeah, right. Because social media just isn't that old. Well, it's interesting you mentioned that. I mean, what's funny is, so my background's actually web development. I built websites in the 90s. And one of my best friends in high school, a gentleman named James Clark, is who my other business partner is. And James' background is public relations. And so when we came together to work on some, we started working on some things together when I was doing some web development and he was doing some PR. But we basically figured out in 2003 a new way of doing marketing. And that was, you know, Google AdWords was coming on. SEO was starting to be a thing. And maybe it had been for a few years, come to think of it. But we recognized that between SEO, Google AdWords, and then just some of the communication strategies that he had as a PR guy, that if we combined our technology background with our communications background, it was really kind of half brains forming one. And so the reality is we started leveraging things like RSS feeds and blogs, as newsrooms, because we recognized early on that they were creating high search engine visibility. And then we started creating podcasts, and this is like in 05, at this point, and, recognized that there was a lot of potential in terms of this thing called social media that we actually heard for the first time, I think, in 2006.
Right.
And so, yeah, to pay the bills, the reality was we were getting people to show up on Google and doing a lot of fun split testing inside of Google AdWords. It wasn't really until 2008 where companies started coming to us and saying, hey, will you do my social media?
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's interesting. So you really saw it with blogs in 2005, and then 2008 was the aha moment for, oh, they want us to create content for the actual social media accounts now.
Yeah. I mean, what was interesting is, you know, we had friends in the PR industry, and one in particular in New York, had Travel Channel, that they had worked with, and they reached out to us and said, Travel Channel is explaining this need that they have. And it doesn't really fall into a category that we can help them with. I mean, they're trying to figure out, you know, what do we do with Facebook? You know, what do we do with YouTube? And they're looking for what they referred to at the time as a word of mouth marketing agency. And so we got in touch with Travel Channel. We ended up securing a bunch of Twitter handles for shows that they had, because at the time they didn't know that they would need it yet. And we told them, and they're like, really? Is that special that you guys reserve these Twitter handles for us? And we're like, oh, you'll see. And so anyway, what happened was we ended up getting Travel Channel, as a client. And back then there was like maybe five of us, that made up the agency, but there just wasn't anybody else doing it. So we were really able to, you know, with that one client, launch our business into a different area as a result of that one.
So Jason, I'm hoping you're not one of the folks who decided to just put all of the press releases on Twitter and call that a social media strategy. I suspect not. But there's a lot of PR people that think that way. And can you, as somebody who's been in PR, what's behind that?
Right. Well, I mean, what I can tell you is, and it's really, you know, the real PR expert in the agency is my business partner, James, but I've been around the guy long enough to know that, you know, the real value in public relations is actually media relations. Mm. And so, you know, these days you hire a PR firm and, you know, they're going to be doing a lot of things that fit into social media. You know, a lot of that's going to be influencer marketing, in fact. And so, you know, community management, content calendar editing and creation, stuff like that. But from our perspective, the real value of PR was always media relations. And if the PR firm couldn't drive, you know, hits on USA Today or, you know, Wall Street Journal or, you know, whatever the prime thing that they were trying to achieve, then they didn't provide much value. And the press release machine, to get to your question, really became just that. You know, companies early on like PRWeb, were providing a means by which you could create a press release, put it out there in the digital world, keyword optimize it, and have that be a huge part of your PR effort because it was generating search engine visibility. The press release itself, the content in a lot of cases was crap. Didn't mean a whole lot, right? And so, yeah, an early strategy would be to, you know, tweet a link to your press release. But you know, honestly, that became more of a an SEO strategy as opposed to anything that really created value inside of social media.
Right. So from an agency perspective now, what's the lead service that you're offering? What are the things that most people ask for first?
Well, I'll tell you, these days, and it's interesting because we've seen quite the evolution. When it was new, people came to us and it was like, I don't know what it is exactly, but I know we need to be doing it. And there's a whole other podcast about that. And so they would end up outsourcing like literally all of their social media to us, where we were creating content on behalf of the brand, doing all of the distribution, the measurement, using the tools, everything. Then what happened is brands we saw started to pull in some of that, and said, hey, we're going to do a lot of this in-house. We're going to hire people because there are more people now that we can actually hire that know this stuff. And they started taking community management back in-house and creating content and stuff like that. And now the evolution that we're seeing is that, you know, social media is no longer a mystery. Most brands that come to us these days are saying, okay, we've got a team that's internal, but we recognize that we actually need to take our social media to the next level. There's a lot of noise out there. Everybody's, you know, with this whole content marketing push, now everybody's producing content, but how are we distinguished apart from the noise that's out there? How do we do it better? And so lots of times the entry point when people approach us is it is a conversation that says, hey, we want to take our social media to the next level. You know, we try to get into conversations early on to figure out what makes sense for them to hire versus for them to outsource. But the starting point is, to be honest with you, Glenn, it's the same as it was years ago. And what I mean by that specifically is it begins with social listening. And so, you know, lots of times people are looking for social strategy, whether it's a smaller, you know, funded company or whether it's a Fortune 500, they're saying, you know, hey, we've got great resources, but we really need strategy, and that strategy needs to connect with our other marketing channels. And so, you know, the big buzzword is omni-channel marketing. And people are looking for agencies that can help connect the dots with that. And so, you know, we start with social listening and get into a really deep engagement with that, with the expectation that there's going to be a lot of data that informs our strategy.
So when I speak to agencies, one of the things that strikes me is that they tend to be good at questioning of a client. And I'm curious, from your perspective, when you go into a new client, what's the first and what's the second question you ask them?
First question. You know, I mean, it's probably not real earth shattering. We typically are asking what their specific goals are. And so this sounds like a very basic question, but you might be surprised at the kinds of answers that we get. Because even very large clients, sometimes the answer to that first question is somewhat vague, compared to what we would like it to be. So broadly, you know, they may say something like, well, our goal is awareness. Mm-hmm. Or our goal is to use social media to help drive leads, you know, if it's on the B2B side, or ROI, or you know, trial, if it's on the food side, you know, product trial, stuff like that. So that's usually the first goal, I think, or the first question that we ask is related to their goals. Gosh, you know, depending on how they answer that too, the second question can vary, but very quickly, we want to understand what their existing team consists of and what the roles are inside of that team. And so usually the follow-up question relates to that. Probably tertiary would be, you know, what are you doing today to get insights into online conversations? So that relates to what are the processes and procedures and what are the tools that they're using to get insights from social conversations.
And just for context, can you give us a sense of the size of companies that you're working with, and are they B2B, B2C, mix?
Sure. Yeah, it's quite a broad mix. It's interesting because, you know, now that we've been in business for 11 years, we've talked about, you know, geez, should we just really go after a vertical and try to specialize in a vertical area? But the answer has been no. And so probably because most of our business just comes from word of mouth and inbound. So to answer your question, I mean, it's a broad mix. It's a lot of B2B and a lot of B2C. So, you know, clients vary. I mean, on the B2C side, they're, you know, Hello Kitty, Verizon Wireless, you know, they're brands, you know, some of the brands you would recognize. You know, we also, Sports Authority, because we're in Boulder, there's a natural foods movement here. And right. So, you know, brands like Udi's, you know, gluten-free and Qdoba and all those kinds of brands we do a lot of work for. On the business-to-business side, you know, Western Union, Twitter is one of our clients. And so, again, it really varies quite a bit. We also were very intentional about getting into marketing automation a few years ago. And so we're a Marketo partner, HubSpot partner. And so these are... you know, these are platforms we recognize that connect to social and really, you know, talk to any forward-thinking marketing agency these days, and hopefully what they'll tell you is that it's really all connecting. And so, you know, right now we still have to say we're a digital and a social media marketing company, and that's what we specialize in. But we're the kinds of conversations we're having are more about, you know, well, what does television look like, and how does it connect with what we're doing in social, and what about radio and print? So it's a much larger discussion.
Let me take a minute to tell you about a special offer we have for Amp Up Your Social Media listeners. Have you leveraged the power of your employees to share your social media? With Gaggle Amp, you can make it easy to amplify your marketing efforts through your employees and track the effectiveness of your employees' efforts. Gaggle Amp is the employee social media amplification solution used by leading organizations of their field. This includes CA, HubSpot, Marketo, LinkedIn, PepsiCo, The United Way, and many, many more. Get twice the normal free trial period by visiting gaggleamp.com/ampup. That's gaggleamp.com/ampup. Get your extended free trial of Gaggle Amp today. Now, back to our show.
Yeah, no, from my point of view, I see the agency business going. I mean, if you're not an integrated agency, in other words, if I can't go to you and you can't help me put all these different mediums together, then you're really not going to be the value add that I need. Because as whether I'm B2B or B2C, you know, I've got to look at all these different mediums. And the interesting thing about, particularly with online, is a medium that's coming up every month. And then what do you do with that? Do you jump in? Do you not jump in? So there's a lot of things out there. And I think having that integrated approach serves you well. But I'm curious, from your perspective, what are the distinctions that you see between B2B and B2C when it comes to providing them with services? Are there nuances that a B2B might have that a B2C would not have, and vice versa?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for the most part, what we see that separates the two is B2B is generally more focused on the lead generation and a longer sales cycle. And so, you know, B2C might be a quick purchase, a lot of times a lot less expensive. You know, for example, you're going to buy a burrito from Evol burritos, you know, Evol Foods that makes burritos, you know, and there's not really a sales cycle in that. You might do a little bit of research and decide, okay, cool, these are the only gluten-free burritos I can find in a frozen section. That's awesome. Now I'm going to go get some. Whereas if you're making a decision about a B2B offering, you know, a lot of times it's a software platform. And the approach really gets into, and this touches on the marketing automation side, it really gets into the lead life cycle. And so you start thinking, and this relates to your question too. What's the difference? You know, we look at B2C and B2B. A huge difference is the content that's being produced, the nature of that content. And so, you know, on the B2B side, when you're thinking in terms of a lead life cycle, now you're thinking of producing content for personas, that are very specific to a certain process in that life cycle, you know, top of funnel, if you will. You know, there's an awareness stage, and how are you helping to educate people about a B2B product or service based on this awareness stage? And then what happens when, you know, you're in the middle of the funnel and they're starting to compare different options and offerings, and they've got a lot of money to spend. And so, you know, generally speaking, it's that how can social support the lead life cycle and the production of content that has a longer sales cycle versus on the consumer side, which is often, you know, a much larger audience, and frankly, a lot more fun in many cases. I can tell you, you know, doing social media for Hello Kitty, versus, you know, a software brand like, you know, Adobe or whatever the case may be, you know, that's a much different atmosphere just in terms of the people working on it.
Right. What have you seen as from the point of view of let's talk B2B specifically right now? When you're going to a B2B company and they're really focused on lead generation, what percent of them really understand their marketing automation tool?
That's a good one. I'm telling you, it's so funny. I mean, I can just tell you, it reminds me of the first Marketo summit I ever went to. It was an annual summit. It's probably, must have been 3 or 4 years ago now. And I remember at the summit, every time a Marketo person got up to speak, and maybe there were a couple thousand people at the time at this summit, you could tell they were prepped to say easy. All the time. And it was like, yeah, the software's so easy. It got to the point where James, my business partner, had actually joined me. We started counting the number of times that they said easy because it felt so prescribed.
Right.
And it's such an incredible irony because it's not easy. and that's why you have, you know, agencies like mine that say, oh yeah, I'll be a Marketo certified partner because there are so many moving parts to it. And I think, you know, just to answer your question, I would say that the vast majority of clients that we work with who've invested in a marketing automation system, they're using it, barely more than, just an email platform.
Right.
And they'd be better off using, you know, Constant Contact or, you know, any number, you know, MailChimp,
right.
You know, any number of email platforms.
Right. Yeah.
Versus what they've really invested in. And so, you know, earlier, I know we were having a conversation, you know, people invest in the marketing automation and they think, okay, I've done it. You know, I did my due diligence. I did the research. I went to the conference. I bought the software. Now let's get it going. You know, they don't even get it really up and going for another 18 months.
Right.
Which is a sad but often true reality.
Yeah. Well, the reason why I raise that is because I think there's a lot of people out there that are a little frustrated because they probably know they're not taking full advantage of their marketing automation tool. And I just want them to know that they're not alone mm-hmm. because they're actually – it seems to be a lot of organizations that are not taking full advantage of everything it does. And today's marketing automation tools, you know, whichever one you pick, they have so many features to them, you know, and it's really hard to really get your hands around the entire thing unless you really have a significant amount of dedication, both in staff and in training resources to get there, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, we've been in situations where there'll be one individual inside of a very large company who's really got the keys to the kingdom in terms of the marketing automation. And then that individual will go take a job somewhere else. And all of a sudden it's like, oh crap, you know, call room 214, get these guys over here. What do we do next? And it's like, you know, it's like, hopefully those systems are set up to a point where someone can jump in and take it over. But to your point, I mean, there's so many features. There's so many integrations. I mean, we just consider the, you know, the integration of a CRM, right? I mean, if you're going to use Salesforce as your CRM and you're really going to take advantage of the dashboards and the things that you can do with Salesforce, I mean, that's a whole other company that's dedicated to Salesforce integrations that you might need to work with to really, you know, exploit the opportunities that you can.
That's right. Yeah. So Jason, I would love to continue chatting. We're reaching the end, but there's always one question I would like to ask at the end, which is, if there's one thing that our listeners could put into action and really have an impact on their social media marketing, what would that one thing be?
If they could really put into action and have an impact on their social media marketing, well, here's what I'll say. I think, we all know in social media that it's always easier to join a conversation than to start one. And I believe that there is a general lack of social listening that's happening right now. A lot of people will invest in the tools, but they're not paying attention to it to the degree that they can recognize certain conversations that are happening and essentially have that help shape their social media strategy. And so if there's one thing that I can think of in terms of putting something into action for social media, I would say consider the content that you're producing today and consider the conversations that are actually happening. Mm-hmm. That's going to take some work. That may take some tools, but ultimately the themes that you should be discussing in conversations, those themes should relate to the actual conversations that are already happening versus something that you're just trying to present out there as a new brand message.
Yeah. Powerful approach to jump in on a stream that's already built.
That's exactly right.
Yep. Jason, thank you so much for joining the show.
Glenn, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
How can people get a hold of you?
Well, they can follow me on Twitter at Jason Cormier. Room214.com is the website. Jason at room214.com is my email address, although I'll tell you that my inbox is not pretty. But those are the ways. You can find me on LinkedIn as well.
Great. Thanks again, Jason.
All right. Thanks a lot, Glenn.
And thank you for listening to another episode of Amp Up Your Social Media.
You've been listening to Amp Up Your Social Media on the FIR Podcast Network. Amp Up Your Social Media is a podcast about how to get the most out of social media, hosted by Glenn Gaudette of Gagalamp. Amp Up Your Social Media is part of the FIR Podcast Network, a series of business podcasts founded by Neville Hobson and Shel Holtz. The anchor podcast is the Hobson and Holtz Report, a weekly show presented since January 2005. For more information about FIR, to see show notes for the podcasts, and to subscribe, visit www.forimmediaterelease.biz. You can also subscribe via iTunes and other podcast directories. We welcome your comments about Amp Up Your Social Media. Join the conversation in the FIR community on Google+. Look for the FIR podcast community or email us at FIRcomments@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.